Welcome to the Gregory Niesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to all the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter who might accidentally find the show. We appreciate you. To take you on the journey this week, you have Gregory Niesmith, entrepreneur, mask wearer, for those who are watching, in the spreading special stuff, and founder of Underdog Stuff Company, and representing Philadelphia. And that person you heard giggling to the left of me is Asha Davis.
Hi.
What's up?
What's up? I feel like I've been MIA for a couple of weeks, man. I missed you guys.
Hey, we missed you too. Welcome back, award-winning advertising executive.
Something like that.
Comedy writer.
Yeah.
Paid comic.
Yeah. Oh, paid stand-up comic, yeah.
Yes, indeed. And a proud Canadian from Toronto.
A proud Torontonian. You are scaring me. He's wearing, for those that can't see, listening to the podcast, hearing on the radio, he's wearing a Jason mask here. And funny enough, his voice doesn't even sound as muffled. And you're wearing a Jason mask and you got your fingers taped up. Did you, he's doing an impromptu Tony Yayo dance right now. What happened to you? You got injured this week?
Yes, I would like to say that it was part of the costume. And actually, it's a good moment to tell folks that if they want to see what is happening right now, they should go to facebook.com/Gregory Niesmith. That's GregoryNiesmith. That's because the Facebook Live is up and running. And if you look, you can see that I have on a mask. And my fingers are bandaged because I fractured a bone in my pinky playing basketball.
Fractured your pinky?
I fractured a bone in my hand. That sounds a little...
Nah, I'm going to say you hurt your little pinky and, you know, you're not being a baby about it.
No, because I
that is the most bootleg finger wrap I've ever seen in my life.
Hold on, talk.
This guy just has some gauze. Okay, we got to get into this.
We
show.
Do.
That's a trick right there. That does not look like a treat.
That's because I wrapped it myself because I went to the doctor late on Friday. Right. I wanted to see the specialist on Monday or Tuesday to actually get a true splint put on it.
Okay, so addition to Gregory being an entrepreneur, life coach, and award-winning marketer, he's also an amateur doctor as well.
Shout out to the Affordable Care Act. Because it's good to be able to go to the doctor, get some x-rays, do a whole bunch of stuff. So shout out to Obamacare. All right, today's show, trick or treat?
Who you calling a trick?
Well, we'll see. The folks got to listen to the show.
Everything about me is a treat.
Okay. We got receipts? That's slang. For those listening. So we're going to talk about literally who's been tricking and who's been treating in the past week.
Yeah.
Maybe even the past month, depending on what topics come up. And with that, I'm going to take this mask off too at some point. We might need a break because I need to like get this mask off so we can actually do the show. All right. So when we come back, we're going to get into it and we're going to go through who's been tricking and treating in the news and the culture.
Exactly. Couldn't you tell us the phone number one more time?
Yeah, one more time. I haven't even told them the first time.
Yeah.
So for folks who want to join the conversation, you can join at area code 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Or you can comment online on Facebook.
And tell us who you think is tricking, who's treating, or if you're going out trick-or-treating yourself.
Yeah, like what costume you wearing
this
next couple of days. So with that, when we get back, some of the unavoidable news stories of the week and who's been tricking and who's been treating. More of the Gregory Niesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Niesmith Show. In the building, Gregory Niesmith and Asha Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for today's episode, Who's Been Tricking, Who's Been Treating. First, unavoidable news story of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been some folks passing out some things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Halloween's about passing out candy. There's been some folks who've been over passing out some prescription drugs, some painkillers. There's been a lot of challenges with something folks have been calling an epidemic, the opioid epidemic.
Opioids.
Yes. Across America. And specifically, not to get too political, but it's been a very big epidemic in a lot of the neighborhoods and areas where there's a lot of Trump supporters too.
So in other words, you're saying it's a primarily non-Black disease.
Yes, and rural too.
Yeah.
Yes, that's where the epidemic has been. And you know what? This isn't the first time America has seen a drug epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
But it does feel like it's the first time there's been so much compassion for a drug epidemic
that
in the United States.
Seems very true.
It's a lot of compassion lately for folks who are breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
And I have compassion for them, but you know, I was thinking back to like the days of crack epidemic and things like that, and I don't really recall the same language and compassion.
Right. I mean, it's very interesting because first of all, this one has a very medical sounding name. Opioid and crack sound very different from each other.
Just as an English major, that's
right. And number two, when you think about the sources, so opioids are prescription medication. So in a world, this is something I've been thinking about, in a world where this has now become an epidemic and a crisis, wouldn't you go to the root of the problem, which would be the companies that are making millions, if not billions of dollars manufacturing these prescription drugs, and who are in turn paying the doctors to overprescribe these patients the prescription drugs, which is causing in turn the addiction and this crisis? Like, why wouldn't you go in those steps? Because that's what they did with crack, right? They went after the people that were selling it. Well, they tried to.
They tried to. And actually, they also went very hard after the users, too.
Exactly. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. They vilified the users.
Yeah, users. And they had, you know, they passed certain sentencing laws where, you know, you get caught with a little bit and all of a sudden you're getting a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
So, good point. They went after everybody. And now the opioids, I'm not sure we've gone after anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this week, your boy, your man's in them.
Yo, if you don't... Because I don't want people to think that these are my mans in them.
The underdogs and our people who listen to the show, they know that when I say your mans in them, that it's not really your
mans. The occasional Trump supporter who tunes in may not know.
That's true. 2 out of 3 is good, though.
Ain't bad.
So you're not really your mans in them. Donald Trump made a big announcement this week.
45.
He said he declared a national health emergency because of the opioid epidemic.
A national health emergency.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, the question is he tricking or is he treating?
Well, we've got a comment from Facebook Live.
Oh, just shout out to the Facebook Live listeners.
Daryl says he thinks it's a trick.
Hold on. So let me take a brief time out. I'm so glad that Daryl chimed in. I was actually going to mention, if Daryl is listening, say something. Because for those who don't know, Daryl has been in the pharmacy, medical industry for, I want to say, almost 2 decades. So he's someone who is really close to this. And if he's saying it's a trick, then I might have to side with him.
Right. Daryl says it's a trick. Daryl, call in if you got another perspective. But he says it's a trick. Opioids have been a problem for the last 35 years. So this is not a new thing.
Okay.
And when it was only in the inner city, the response was lock them up and throw away the key. Now that it has hit suburbia and rural areas, it's now a crisis.
Which is, you know, a quick glance, you're just going through your week. You hear that there's a public health emergency declared. It sounds like it's a good thing, but it's not. And actually, it hasn't been a good thing for the disparity in how urban and minorities were treated when there were drug epidemics versus rural and suburban. And on top of that, I think it's even a trick for the Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Because when there is a public health emergency, I hate to give folks a little inside information, but those type of emergencies don't come with any funding.
But they don't come with any funding, no.
No, so literally, Trump makes this big declaration, and it's not like there's any money where his mouth is.
But there's other implications.
There are. So to your point, one of the implications is they allow more what's called telemedicine, mm-hmm. where literally I can call up and be in the middle of nowhere and get a prescription to go pick up more meds or whatever might be helpful to help me cure my addiction. And I'm going to assume I also won't get arrested or anything like that either.
I'm going to assume that the pharmaceutical companies who are facing a lot of pressure to combat this opioid crisis are going to be capitalizing on anti-opioid addiction drugs that you can order through these apps. I guarantee you any of those apps that come out that do that, the pharmaceutical companies own them. So this is the vertical, this is money. Everything that this administration is doing, you can find a corporation on the other side of it.
You know, you just now connected the dots for me, because when I was looking up the story, it says that the telemedicine services are expanded, which is remote prescribing of medication to help with the addiction, to your point, which then puts more money in the pockets of the drug companies that can now have at it to go help folks with this addiction
that they caused.
And as Chris Rock used to say, the money's in the medicine, not the cure.
Exactly. We have another great comment on Facebook Live from Daryl. He says, manufacturers aren't the problem. People are the problem. They are enabled by the government. The government reimburses based on customer satisfaction. So if the physician doesn't give you some opiates and you complain of pain, you and the hospital take the financial hit.
There's no treat in any of this.
No, there's absolutely no treat. The only treat is that for people that are addicted to opioids, it'll now be even easier to get them and feel free that you're not going to go to jail as a result of anything that you do while you are under the influence of them.
And I think that's a fair point, because while I'm bitter at how this epidemic is being handled versus the crack epidemic in the past, I'm not a mean person. Like, I don't like to see anyone addicted or in pain related to anything, let alone this epidemic. So yeah, shout out to the fact that there are going to be people getting support. But I want folks to remember all this compassion the next time some type of drug epidemic hits a different part of America, where folks might be, you know, a little brown or black and living in urban areas, that maybe we can show them some compassion too.
And thank you so much to Daryl for those comments. He's just outlined that he's been a physician, again, to reinforce, I've been a pharmacist for 18 years. So if anybody knows about prescription medication.
Shout out to the underdogs who are out here making stuff happen in their different fields and industries. And yeah, we basically had an expert jump in on, is it a trick or a treat? And let's get you on the record. This public health emergency, is it a trick or a treat?
This is a trick.
And I know what Daryl said, it's a trick.
Mm-hmm. It's a trick. I'm going to say this is a trick, like Trick Daddy. Uh-huh. Okay.
What's up?
Shut up. Shut up with that. It's a trick.
I'm not even going to add to that. That is perfect. So with that, we're going to go to the next unavoidable news story of the week. Shout out to the 215, which is the area code of Philadelphia, where Dow is representing, where we both grew up. All right. The next story. Flaky. Jeff Flake.
Tender Flake.
What?
You know the pie crust?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
I wanted to make
sure. It's delicious. I make quiche sometimes. This is a tender flake. That's the quality crust right there.
Okay. You make quiche?
Yeah.
That's fancy. Like that. There were years I didn't even know how to pronounce that.
You know, it starts with a Q.
No, I know, but I didn't have a lot of quiche growing up, so I didn't even know how to pronounce it, but that's fancy.
All right, Mr. So what is Mr. Fly? I see that he attacked Trump, which already makes him a positive in my book.
You already are feeling so for those who don't know what quiche is, or Jeff Flake is the senator from Arizona. A first-term senator, actually, mm-hmm. in the same state where John, I don't vote for repealing and replacing Obamacare, McCain is from. And Jeff Flake got to the Senate floor this week and went at it with Donald Trump. And we're going to play a bit of this. And it's the theme of the show. Is Jeff Flake tricking, or is he treating us with his attack on number 45.
I think I know my answer.
Okay. Well, let's hear Jeff Flake.
Yep.
Into a pluralistic society. We have fooled ourselves for long enough that a pivot to governing is right around the corner. We know better than that. When the next generation asks us, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you speak up? What are we going to say? Mr. President, I rise today to say enough. I have children and grandchildren to answer to. And so, Mr. President, I will not be complicit or silent. If I have been critical, it is not because I relish criticizing the behavior of the President of the United States. If I have been critical, it is because I believe it is my obligation to do so. And as a matter and duty of conscience, I decided that I would be better able to represent the people of Arizona and to better serve my country and my conscience by freeing myself of the political consideration that consumed far too much bandwidth and would cause me to compromise far too many principles. To that end, I am announcing today that my service in the Senate will conclude at the end of my term in early January 2019.
Jeff Flake!
Jeff Flake.
Wanting civility and wanting the president to pivot to being presidential, for Republicans to care just as much about how they do things in addition to what they do.
Mm-hmm. I mean... What are your thoughts? I'd like to hear your thoughts. I know my opinion.
Yo, this dude is tricking. Jeff Flake.
What'd you say?
First of all, let's break this down. Like I, as a not a personal aside, but in general, whenever we're faced or I'm faced with doing things, there's a certain degree of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel like I should, you should, people should get a certain amount of credit for, like, how difficult was it, whatever they did.
Right.
I don't think people realize that the degree of difficulty of what Jeff Flake just did is very, very low. He's never been a Trump supporter. That's first of all. So for all those folks going, oh, Republicans are finally going after Donald Trump. Well, he's never liked Donald Trump. So degree of difficulty, low. Then he says he's not running for re-election. Guess what?
What?
They released some of the polling data in his state. The dude doesn't have a chance of winning re-election. That's like when President Trump told Steph Curry he was uninvited to the White House, and Steph Curry was already like, I'm not coming. Jeff Flake's like, I'm not running again. Well, you're not going to get re-elected.
I mean...
Tricking.
Okay. Well... This is why we have a two-person show. That's why sometimes, you know, it's nice to have another person's perspective, because for me, I say there's a little treat in here. I'm not going to lie. I think there's a little treat because he went on the record as saying, I couldn't sleep at night having to embrace the president or condoning his behavior or being okay with some of his positions. I just couldn't do it. I just wasn't in the cards. Right. And the fact that he went on the record saying these types of things as a Republican, right? If he decided that he wanted to maintain, he knew that if he had any chance in heck of getting reelected, he could not get reelected as a Republican without supporting Trump, because that's who the president is. So the fact that he has now made it his mantra, and the fact that he could potentially be an ally to speak to other Republicans that are not Trump support, speak to other Republicans in the hopes that they may, you know, sway. Because it's one thing for a Democrat or a Black person to say, hey, you know, we shouldn't support Trump. It's another thing for another white guy with the last name Flake to be saying the same thing. So in my perspective, I think there's a little bit of a treat in here in some capacity. This feels like at least one of the people that tried to go against Hitler in his prime or something like that. Maybe not that difficult, because
degree of difficulty.
Maybe the degree of difficulty. But who knows? Because when Hitler first started, before, you know, what we know as his prime, he was doing what Trump is doing now. And people were going with him because he was rising to power. However, let me get into some of our Facebook comments.
Yes, let's see whether folks feel like Jeff Flake is tricking or treating. And then I also want to play a clip from Donald Trump, who will weigh in on whether he thinks Jeff Flake is tricking or treating.
So I'm going to start with, so why don't I read one, then you play the clip, then I read another one. So
Tales from the Crypt.
The first. Daryl says it's a trick. Flake should have stayed and fought an election against Trump and Bannon. Go down with a fight like Arlen Specter did back in 2010.
See? So far that's trick, trick, treat.
I mean, I'm saying there's a little bit of a treat in there, yeah. But play that next clip because I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, yet. Donald Trump is going to weigh in. Well, he didn't know we were doing a show called Tricking or Treating, but just roll with it.
All right.
You'll get a sense of whether he's feeling Jeff Flake or not.
He was against me from before he ever knew me. He wrote a book about me before I ever met him, before I ever heard his name. His poll numbers in Arizona are so low that he couldn't win. And I don't blame him for leaving. I think he did the right thing for himself. But if you know, long before he ever knew me, during the campaign, even before the campaign, he came out with his horrible book. And I said, who is this guy? In fact, I remember the first time I saw him on television. I had not really been, nobody knew me in terms of politics. But the first time I saw him on television, I said, I assume he's a Democrat. Is he a Democrat? They said, he's a Republican. I said, that's impossible. So look, his poll numbers are terrible. He's done terribly for the great people of Arizona, a state that likes Donald Trump very much, as you, even you will admit. And he would have never won. In fact, even in the primary, he's way down in the primary. So he did the smart thing for himself. This way he can get out somewhat gracefully. But what about this comment?
Trump thought he dressed up as a Democrat for Halloween.
Well, you know what, though?
Now what you got to say?
You know what? Rudy says... It's a trick. Guaranteed you're going to see some Flake 2020 ads soon. He knows he can't win Arizona, so he's trying to position himself to win the Republican nomination.
Shout out to Rudy, for one, because I appreciate Rudy jumping into the conversation, and for two, because he said trick.
But his next comment said...
Rudy, stop it! No!
His
no,
next
we're going
comment
to break.
Said, in response to my points that I made, he said, there's definitely some treat in that. I agree with that too, Asha. Black people, thumbs up.
All right. So maybe you and Rudy have me recalibrating this a little bit. I'm going to find a silver lining. Because silence is just as bad as folks who've been co-signing for Trump. So to be fair, any voice... Even if it's a rhino, which they call Republican name only, or whether he's dressed up as a Republican, he's really a Democrat, he's still registered as a Republican, won a Republican race in Arizona, and it's still better than nothing that he's saying something.
I think so, too. So I guess we can... But he's tricking, but there's a little treat in it.
Yes, there is a little bit of a treat.
It's like Trina. Uh-huh. Like Trick Daddy and okay. Trina, because Trina's definitely the treat. There's a lot of treat. To her tricks.
Yes.
That was, I love Trina. I'm sorry.
No, that's
speaking of female rappers, we got a comment from Sharon that says, Friday the 13th, I'm gonna play Jason. I'm guessing responding to your mask. And I know that
we killed him out here. If for no other reason, and we want folks who are riding around in their cars to listen to 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem, or go to www.whtr.org, or you should go to the Facebook today just to see Asha and I live. And
I forgot my mask.
I know you.
You didn't give me the memo. I had my leopard mask for my costume.
It was just one of those last minute things.
All right,
just having a little fun.
All right.
And one more thing on Mr. Jeff Keish Flake is I'm still hopeful for the day when, can you believe, while Trump has a 36% overall approval rating, 80% of Republicans approve of him?
Crazy. Only because they know that he can get them reelected.
So I want Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan to say something. Or Mike Pence.
Let's wait till after they get their $1 billion tax breaks. Then we'll see who really cares about him. Right now, remember, It's all about the money. Whenever you see questionable behavior, there's a corporation behind it, owned by people in the government.
Matter of fact, when are we going to see Trump's taxes? I want him to dress up as a nice guy for Halloween or something like that. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break.
Quick break.
And then when we come back, more of today's episode, it's going to be written as Who's Trick or Treat, but because we're live, we can say Who's Trick and Who's Treat. It doesn't really translate as well when you write it out as a title.
Oh, because it's a little, yeah.
Yeah, but live on air. It's Who's Tricking and Who's Treating. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Asha Davis in the building. Gregory Neesmith in the building. And more of your comments, calls, and questions after this. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter who might accidentally find the show. You made it to the right place if you'd like to get personal about the news and the culture. And in studio, as always, Asha Davis.
Hi.
Gregory Neesmith. And all the underdogs who've been chiming in either over the phone. Shout out to Deborah from Manhattan.
Shout out to Deborah during the break.
And also to all the folks who've been going along on the journey with us online on Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, our Facebook Live.
Yeah.
And today,
shout out to the people who were freestyling during the breaks. You know, if anybody wants to get in on the battle, if you got a 4 bars for me, I'll go back and forth with you if you want to call in.
Hey, you know, I'll put that beat just loud enough where it's playing on the background and then y'all can get at it. Whenever, just let me know.
Freestyle Sundays on the Gregory
and that'll be a treat.
Yes.
And today's episode is Who's Tricking and Who's Treating, but it'll be written as Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
You know, just because.
Now, politically correct.
Yes. Speaking of politically correct, this actually might be politically incorrect. Let's get into another unavoidable news story of the week. And we will again ponder the question of, are they tricking or are they treating?
Are they tricking or are they treating?
For folks who may not be aware, the NFL players, NFL owners, met about a week and a half ago to talk about how they can potentially work together to, as some describe, move from protest to progress related to equality in our policing and justice system, especially for minorities and specifically for African Americans.
Protest to progress. It's got a nice catchy ring to it.
Yes, it's much better than the, as we know, incorrect term of anthem protest, because no one's protesting an anthem.
Right.
So with that said, that's kind of the context. And so coming out of that, there's been discussions about what are the players getting? Are they going to stop kneeling? Are they going to kneel some more? Are the owners really feeling this? Are they saying one thing in public and another thing behind folks' backs? And then this happens.
Yes, it's not funny at all, actually. No. Just the way that Gregory just like stopped and looked at me like that was weird.
It was a leader.
So earlier this week, as in 2 days ago, an article came out. So are you familiar with the Houston Texans?
Yeah, they have a very good team. Actually, J.J. Watt, one of their players, raised a lot of money for Harvey. And Watson is their quarterback who played at Clemson, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a little bit about the Texans.
Okay. So Bob McNair is the owner of the Texans. And I think we talked about this or mentioned it briefly on a previous show that a couple of weeks ago, there was a big meeting of all the owners and such where they were going to, as you mentioned, discuss how they can move from protest to progress.
Yep.
And on Friday, an article came out in ESPN's magazine that was basically written about what was talked about, what went on during that meeting. And something really jumped out at folks, which was a comment made by Bob McNair in which he said, "We can't have the inmates running the prison."
Oh, time out. I need you to make sure you didn't misread something.
So when referring
to start over again,
when during the owners' meeting to discuss moving from protest to progress, while referring to the ongoing player demonstrations during the anthem, Bob McNair, owner of the Houston Texans, said, "We can't have the inmates running the prison."
At the meeting.
At the meeting. So the meeting was a couple of weeks ago. The comment was only made public this Friday. So there's obviously been 2 weeks since people actually found out about it. As usual happens, the person doesn't apologize in the moment. They only apologize when people find out about it. So as soon as people expressed outrage after seeing that article, he said, "I'm truly sorry to the players for how this has impacted them and the perception that it has created of me, which could not be further from the truth."
That's probably how he said it, too.
He probably had somebody else write it.
Sounds like you think even his apology is triggering.
I think this whole thing. So the next morning, so this is now yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning, he met with the players of the Texans, right? And he expressed his regret for the initial comment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine being a Texans player, seeing this written and coming out, right? So the Texans players actually were considering a walkout from the team facility. So on Friday, they were considering a walkout, and two players, so DeAndre Hopkins and Donta Foreman, were listed as did not practice, or not injury related. So basically, two players actually boycotted their own practice, specifically related to what he said. And you can imagine there's also been comments coming out from players, from players' wives, basically saying, you know, my husband has played for your organization for 10 years and all you think of him as is an inmate in your prison.
Yeah, so I, first, to give a little context, what was even the owner trying to say? Isn't there an cliche or established saying called the inmates running the asylum?
He was basically, yeah. So there's a somewhat turn of phrase that is also politically incorrect if you ask me, but it's basically you can't let the crazy people run the asylum, right? And so that's basically what he was trying to say. Somebody has to be in charge.
Yes.
Right? However, when all of those people that are in charge do not have the same perspective as you have, that's when things become difficult.
Yeah, this is just, I mean, first of all, this is easily tricking, right? There's no treating this at all. And I think that first, let's make sure. I think we have a caller. Name, yeah. Where you calling?
Yes, yeah, Deborah.
Hey, Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
What's on your mind?
If they are inmates, then he's the warden.
Exactly.
So that means somebody is over him. So he should think twice before he starts talking.
Yeah, unless, unfortunately, if he's the warden, the person over him is fully behind what he is saying.
Exactly. But you know what? These brothers, they need to just make their money. Make their money and just go ahead and just keep making their money. I'll say no more on air. Just keep making your money. Don't entertain. Don't shout. Don't shake your butt. Just make your money, okay? Because these people are laying things out for you. They're putting the silverware on the table. They're letting you know what they think about you. Now, you want to have forgiveness meetings with them? Then fine. When they kick you again, you deserve to get kicked. They've already told you what they think about you. Hey. So it doesn't matter what they write. It doesn't matter who writes the letter and puts it out there. You don't have to be angry with them. Just make your money.
I hear you, Deborah, and always
just
appreciate
make your
that.
Money. Be respectful and make your money. You know, you don't. If you need a daddy, go get somebody else to be your daddy. Because I really get tired of some of these players. You know, the coach this and the coach that. He's not your daddy. He's not your father. So just play. Be a man and play. Be a gladiator and play. You want to take a knee? Take a knee.
And then if you want to do something in the community, then go do it. And realize that we don't have to get the support of the owners. And guess what? They've revealed who they are, that they're not really into
this. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So to your point, take the money, because money is a helpful thing in doing things in the community.
Yes, it is.
And go take your popularity, go take your money, but we don't have to get assistance from
people. And demand as much as you can get.
Yes. All right. Hey,
Don't make any excuses, you know, because if they really knew all the money that these people make off of them, it's really despicable.
Oh,
I have often said that. You know, when I hear people say, oh, they're making so much money. First of all, most of these people that want to talk about these guys taking the knee, they're upstairs buying beers, throwing up over what's the name. I mean, they're just despicable. Half of them don't even know what that. They don't even know the national anthem. I have gone to so many places. I have seen graduations where people come in and they look like they just came out of, I can't say where I want to say, but they come there to see these graduations and they don't even know what the national anthem is. And the flag is coming down the aisle, you know, the whole pomp and circumstance, and they're standing there with their sandals on, looking up at the sky. They don't know anything. So it's just time for us to clean our act up and just do what we have to do. That's all.
Hey, I appreciate you.
You don't have to be in love with them. They've never loved you, and they're not going to. They just want your money. They want your body so that they can make some money. So, you know, try and take care of yourself, eat better, and just, like, stay away from them. Just stay away from them.
No, I think
stay out of the club.
You make a
you
good.
You got enough money. Your house should be paradise.
You make a good point, Deborah, and I think in some future shows we're going to talk about that, like when it's time to sometimes just walk away and go do what you need to go do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Have a great evening.
Hey, you too, Deborah. Have a good summer.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. So it sounds like she thinks this is a trick.
Yeah, I think she is definitely. And on top of that, it's an interesting point that I think we should talk about in future shows, which is especially when we're underdogs, we can make an attempt to bring people along the journey with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain point, maybe it's time to just say, you know what? I need to just walk away and go take care of my people and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if, and actually this is what's so alarming to me. It'd be one thing if this was like off the record and said behind people's backs. He said it in front of them at the meeting.
And in the moment didn't think that anything he said was wrong until people found out about it in an article that came out 2 weeks later.
And then for those who are like, oh, he was just using a cliche or a phrase and this and that. First of all, they're protesting about policing. His workforce is 70% black. He's using an analogy that compares. This dude is not stupid. He's at least smart. He's definitely not intelligent, but at least smart. He knows analogies. You don't compare your workforce to inmates and being in prisons.
And essentially, it's not like his sentiments don't reflect the long-standing sort of thoughts of NFL owners. And I actually found an article that talks about the ex-Cowboys president. And you know how much love we have for the Cowboys.
Yes.
But the ex-Cowboys president, Tex Schramm, once said to the union chief, Gene Upshaw, "You guys are cattle. We're the ranchers. And ranchers can always get more cattle."
Yeah.
And he's also said that the author of the article also said that there's another owner who's fond of using the acronym LRC to remind his employees, which are the NFL players, who's in charge. You want to guess what LRC means?
LRC?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
Lower right corner, as in the one who signs your check.
Hey, I to build on that, I saw a comment from one of your mans in them.
4-5.
No, this one, Jason Whitlock.
Oh man, come on, man. Oh, we have a caller, it looks like, as well.
Yeah, so your mans in them, Jason Whitlock, was saying that the players don't understand that they're in a partnership with the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw online, and I wish I could remember which friend of mine I saw post this, but one of my friends online put, the owners don't see the players as equal partners. They see them at best as independent contractors.
Exactly.
And I think when you put it into that perspective, then you bring home what Deborah was saying earlier about, like, maybe it's time for the players to just make their money and then go do what they want to do outside of the NFL because they're not going to get the support from the owners. And yeah, if I'm an independent contractor, I actually don't expect that much investment or solidarity or support from the organization that I'm literally just coming in to make some money to benefit myself and obviously to benefit them.
Right.
And so maybe it is time for them to like go beyond owners and start working with politicians and folks in the community to make some of this change happen.
Or they could follow up with Master P's offer to start their own league. And if anybody wants to go join.
I would love that. I believe we may have a caller. Name, where are you calling from?
Yes, hello.
Hello, name and where you calling from?
Yes, my name is Stefan Omar, and I'm calling from New Jersey. Right now, I was a resident of Rancun, Puerto Rico, and I'm here in Jersey because I was flooded out of my home. And what I'd like to say is the players in the National Football League could help the brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico right now. They're in dire need of help. Children are dying as we speak. Brothers and sisters are being trapped in the mountains. The water is unsafe to drink. So you name it. I don't know what you're hearing on the internet or what you're hearing in your daily newspapers or on CNN. But I just came here from Puerto Rico. I was living in Rancón, which if you know, Rancón just means the tip of the island. And we're still in a blackout situation. My son is down there with his queen, and he's trying to help as many people as he can. So I wish that the athletes in these different leagues, many of them of Puerto Rican background, and those who are not even, just give, send. They need water, they need baby materials, feminine products, canned goods, satellite
rooms,
etc.
Hey, Stefan, first of all, our thoughts are with you. I can only imagine how devastating it can be to like not be at your home, to have to move abruptly, and then obviously having family and friends that are still suffering down there in Puerto Rico. And then also what I appreciate from your call is the news moves quickly these days. Something is a story yesterday, and then something new comes today and tomorrow. And you are a reminder that whether it's Harvey in Texas, the folks in the Caribbean from Maria, and then obviously we talk about Puerto Rico, where they're American citizens, like our fellow Americans in Puerto Rico are still suffering.
Exactly. Can I just interject? We in Puerto Rico pay 11.5% in sales tax. Our brothers and sisters and children and grandchildren are fighting for the U.S. Army. But the president, I'll just call him Mr. Gemini, and the vice president, who happens to also be a Gemini, he seems to be of a vampire type mindset. And as we know, vampires have no soul anyway. So we're asking the everyday people like ourselves. I've went through 3 hurricanes in the last 3.5 weeks. I'm here in New Jersey. Thank God I'm with my daughter. I haven't been in my home for over 5.5 to 6 weeks now. And like I said, I don't know what you're hearing on the news media, but it's 1,000 times worse. Yep. For instance, when I left on the 10th of this month, there was over 150 children who had died either prematurely or they couldn't get medicine. That's not even being reported. You have senior citizens who haven't eaten in over 10 days. You have brothers and sisters in Mariguez and not in Ponce, but in Veracruz and all of the other villages who are burnt out completely for the last 60 days.
And we
have a horrible situation. The government is taking all of the generators. I'll admit they're giving you the monies for the receipts, but they're confiscating the generators for themselves.
No, I totally.
A lot of stuff that you're not even hearing that I had to experience. And I'm a senior citizen, and I'm here for health reasons. If not, I wouldn't have been able to leave the island.
Hey, well, Stefan, the one thing you've done, which we appreciate, is, again, you have brought a reminder for those who may have forgotten, but a lot of New Yorkers haven't, because there's a large number of Puerto Ricans who live in this New York City area. But I appreciate you calling in and reminding everybody about what's going on in there and offering a solution that maybe some of these NFL players looking to continue to do something in the community, along with police brutality and criminal justice reform. There's also an opportunity for them to continue to help out our other American citizens in Puerto Rico. And we appreciate you calling in.
Which is why it's convenient for me, yo, and all the brothers and sisters in Harlem, remember, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Hey, we love you back, man.
We love you too.
You hang in there. Bye now.
Which is why I'm here.
Cool. So just a reminder that there's still folks who are recovering in Puerto Rico, in the Virgin Islands, in the Caribbean, in Texas.
And speaking of Texas, and just to kind of wrap up the story on our Houston Texans owner, Bob McNair, who we were talking about his comment regarding not letting the inmates run the prison in regards to the NFL. We've got a couple more Facebook Live comments that I wanted to get to. So Daryl says it's a trick. NFL owners will show me something when they put money behind the talk and support. And specifically, McNair should be suspended and forced to sell. Like, come on, commish. Your job is to protect the shield.
Hey, when Donald Sterling of the Los Angeles Clippers in the NBA comments that were racist and finally came to light in the public, they quickly banished him as an owner, sold the team, and moved on.
Exactly. And it's that's a really good reference to bring up. And we've got another comment. Rudy says, I think it's a trick. If he expects us to believe that this isn't how he truly feels about the players and this isn't who he is behind the scenes, but I think it can be a treat. McNair needs to clean up his image after this, so he'll be throwing money at the problem to clean it up. If the Houston players can identify organizations that deal with social injustice in the community, there can be a little bit of a treat coming out of this.
Okay. Shout out to Rudy, who, by the way, is a good brother and someone I've done coaching and consulting with, and now lives in Brooklyn, which is where you spend some time now.
Yeah.
Too. So shout out to all the folks in Brooklyn, USA, and Rudy for jumping in and letting us know his thoughts.
And one last comment, because we were talking about Puerto Rico. And again, thank you so much to our caller for listening and calling in. And Daryl has a comment about Puerto Rico because his in-laws are from the island.
His wife, yes.
And just to sort of bring this back, he sort of really brings up a great point. He said many people that are relocating from Puerto Rico are going to places like New Jersey, like our caller, New York, Florida, and North Carolina and Pennsylvania. So one comment to those people who are fortunate enough to be able to relocate to some of these states, make sure you register to vote after you resettle. It only takes 100,000 votes to flip Florida and Pennsylvania. Register and take advantage of your American rights.
I love it. The underdogs are on fire today.
Great point.
Very good point. We're going to take a quick pause for station ID, a little bit of music, and then we're going to come back with more of today's episode, which is Who's Tricking and Who's Treating?
Who's Tricking and Who's Treating?
More of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture after this.
We stay live. We never creep in. Underdogs find out who's tricking, who's treating on Halloween. All Hallows Eve. Thanks for tuning in with Gregory Neesmith and me, Asha Davis. We ain't faking. We keep it real, but we stay caking on the ill show. And we go, go. Can I pass it off to Jason with the mask on?
Hey, we ain't faking. Asha is Jamaican. And we taking the airwaves to a new level. Beat drop.
Nice. All right. We'll get back into the show. So I know just before the break, we just finished talking about Bob McNair's comment in the Houston Texans. And I just wanted to give a shout out because we know that currently what's bubbling, you know, the world is real time and social media and all that jazz. So right now, the latest on social media is that the Houstons are planning a protest during their 4 o'clock game. And this time they will be protesting those comments of Bob McNair himself. So obviously we won't be on at 4 o'clock, but we'll definitely be keeping our eyes peeled. And if any of you listening out there, we've got one more hour of the show. You know, the 1 o'clock games have started. So if anybody is seeing anything happening that they want to call in and talk about, just let us know.
Yes, please do. And shout out to Tanya from Harlem, who a few weeks ago was one of the underdogs and our people who was keeping their eye out on what was going on. And she actually called in to let us know a few weeks ago that Mike Pence had literally just walked out of an Indianapolis Colts game, which was during the 1 o'clock hour. And for those who've been following along, it's, I think, appropriate that our show is every Sunday at 1 o'clock, the kickoff, because this topic matters to underdogs. It matters to Asha, it matters to myself, and my boycott continues. Haven't watched a snap at all of the NFL preseason or regular season, because, you know, got to stand for something, especially for a cause that is very personal to me. With that, there's been some new news that is literally new news. Like, within the past, let's call it 36 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
And it's Russia is back in the news again.
Wow.
The Russians. And actually, in a whole lot of cases, they're talking about dossiers and DNC and Republicans and Kutcher and like a whole bunch of stuff. But something potentially big has happened. There was a leak. I'm not sure if I want to call it a leak or a report, that Robert Mueller, who is leading the special investigation about whether or not there was collusion between the Russians and Trump world during the campaign for president. Word is that he is going to issue the first, is it arrest? Is it subpoena? What
charges?
Yes. The first charges related to this investigation are supposed to come out on Monday. First charges from Robert Mueller, special counsel, investigating collusion between Russia and Donald Trump world during the campaign. First charges coming like Monday morning.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
And the question is this a trick or a treat?
This one is tricky. So just to give a little
hold
bit.
Hold on, you can't, is that a pun intended?
Yeah.
You can't use tricky inside the trick or treat.
I mean, I don't always have to elaborate on my puns. I appreciate the intelligence of our listeners and viewers.
Fair enough. keep treating.
You don't always got to explain the stuff, you know.
Very well. Keep treating them.
So this is tricky.
Okay.
So I just want to give a little bit more of a background here. So as we know, we talk about Mueller or Mueller.
Yes, Mueller.
Mueller. As in Ferris Bueller for my 80s babies out there. So a federal grand jury on Friday just approved the first charges in this investigation, as Gregory had mentioned. So the charges are still sealed under the orders of a federal judge. So the plans were prepared on Friday. So literally we're talking 48, like, isn't it crazy how much stuff happens on Fridays with this administration? Like,
data
this is
dump.
Crazy. Like, you're working every weekend with this.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Like,
they mess up our
work. It's like, 'cause we have our workflow and it's like the show we had prepared on Thursday night is literally like blown up by Sunday. Anyway, sorry, digress. So, the sources said, so plans were prepared Friday for anyone charged to be taken into custody as soon as Monday. However, we don't know, to Gregory's point, what those charges are. And so right now we're left to speculate until tomorrow, as in whose name could be in those documents, what those charges are, what that person is sort of being accused of doing, and also what evidence has been so compelling as such to lead a federal judge to actually issue permission for these charges to be laid.
Tricking or treating?
So I'm going to start with some Facebook comments.
yo, you are stalling. you over here, shout out to all the folks listening on WHCR 90.3 from the Voice of Harlem riding around in their cars or watching the Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. Asha is about to read your comments. I appreciate you, and I think she appreciates you too, especially because she can still try to figure out her answer to tricking or treating.
So Daryl says, I think Trump's name is in the indictment under the seal. What? And Mueller is just waiting until the day he leaves office before unsealing it.
Daryl Tillman, Asha Davis.
What do you think about that?
And I appreciate what I will call and a very optimistic sentiment from Daryl there. So I'm going to go with tricking. And I'll tell you why. How often have there been leaks during the Trump administration?
Every day.
Every day. If there was a major charge or a major person within Trump world, including potentially Trump, in this, there's no way we would be doing this show right now on Sunday afternoon and that had not leaked by now. That's just my common sense, my gut. On top of that, investigations like this are often, you hear the term, follow the evidence. When Bill Clinton and the Clintons were getting investigated, I believe it was for Whitewater and some things with investments and money. What did that end up leading to? Monica Lewinsky. So I also want people to like remember that sometimes these investigations can lead to things that actually have nothing to do with the original investigation. So someone could be getting charged for something that has nothing to do with collusion between the Russians and Trump world. Someone could have just broken the law that was found out while they were doing an investigation. And it could be like some dude who was like 3 degrees of separation, who worked in the campaign and did something, and they're getting charged.
Well, to be fair, Daryl did respond to his comment, and he said that his guess is that he has smaller fish in this round of indictments. He's setting up 45, announcing some lower-level indictments, getting them to flip, and then running it up the ladder. Because he does bring up a good point. Any charges against the president have to be sealed until they leave office, because by law, you can't indict a sitting president.
I get that. But if there was someone big like Kelly Conway or Paul Manafort, like his campaign manager, having discussions with Russia or something like that, to me, that probably could have leaked by now.
Well, no, and I think Daryl is agreeing with you. He's thinking that it's going to be smaller fish in this round. I think this is the first of many that we're going to see. And in terms of sort of my two cents of whether this is trick or treat.
I was wondering, I thought you were going to maybe wait till after the show to tell us.
Stop it. Mine, to be honest, I'm going to go ahead with treat again for this one because, you know, in everything you do in life, you talk about going from protest to progress. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you as a life coach, you may have heard about celebrating the small wins.
Yes.
And the fact that the pebble is being kicked forward, as much as it's not being kicked into the goal at this point, it's farther away. It's closer to where we want it to be than it was 6 months ago, with the fact that now the powers that be from a judiciary standpoint feel that there is sufficient evidence to begin a criminal criminal charges. And so for me, that's where I'm going to be seeing this as a treat.
I mean, all I can say is the optimism is refreshing. It's still a trick.
Well, you don't get to make the rules. You don't get to decide for me. You think it's a trick. I think it's a treat. It's completely subjective.
Now, with that said, though, let's be very clear. I am hopeful that you are totally correct, and Daryl, too. And then maybe we won't have to wait another 7 years before Donald Trump is out of office.
Seven? You're giving him a 2 terms?
Hey, incumbents are 3 for 3 the past 3 presidents. Clinton, Bush and Obama all went for second terms. Even the unpopular Bush, who didn't even win the popular vote, got a second term.
That's crazy.
So let's not talk like it's impossible for a dude who doesn't win the popular vote in his first term to then come back and squeak by and get a second.
That's true.
It just happened in this century, less than 17 years ago.
That's true.
All right, so we will obviously keep our eye on them. I mean, now I'm going to have set my CNN alerts or something like that for tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, it'll probably come up anyways without you having to set it.
That's very true.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard to miss.
That's a very good point. So we're going to take a brief break and then come back with more of today's episode.
Yeah.
Who's tricking?
Who's treating?
Yes, indeed. And Asha has been in the treat mood.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And
I've had 2 treats today.
Yes. And It's always a treat when you're in the building.
Oh, I love being here.
And we love having you here too. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show, Who's Tricking, Who's Treating, today's episode after this. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. I know those Trump supporters might be a little nervous because Mueller's pressing some charges on Monday morning. Mm. Today's episode, Who's Tricking, Who's Treating? We've talked about what's going on with the opioid epidemic. We've talked about the NFL owner in Texas just acting a fool.
Somebody did think there was a treat in that one. Thought that was a unanimous trick.
Yeah, that's a small treat. That's like getting raisins in your, like, as your candy.
That ain't no treat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like they gave to you, but it's not really a treat. And we talked about the Mueller. But it's Halloween.
Yeah.
And so we got to talk a little while Halloween is approaching. So we should talk about a lot of folks who were enjoying this weekend, had some Halloween celebrations. Mm-hmm. I know that you went out last night.
Yeah.
I did too. So love to hear, first of all, did you have a costume?
I did.
What was your costume?
I was a leopard. And I had on a little leopard mask and the whole, it looked like a leopard bodysuit, but it was, a leopard bodysuit and the leopard tights and the leopard booties and sexy leopard.
So is it, because I've done this in the past where I've been like Run DMC and the Adidas sweatsuit is a costume that night, but it's also something that I'll wear.
I would rock those pieces, not all together at once.
You break a rule when you put them all together?
Yeah, like normally if I was wearing the leopard bodysuit top, I'd wear like black tights and then the leopard boots like that. I wouldn't do all leopard.
Is that fashionista advice? Yeah. Economical fashionista advice?
And I did get my costume at Salvation Army. Like, it's tight. Like, it looked like I got so many compliments of people being like, I would wear that. Where'd you get that? And, you know, Salvation Army, whatever you do, do not stand in the lineup at Spirit to pay $100 for a costume because that's stupid.
So, underdogs, you got to coordinate. On Halloween, but not on all the other days.
No.
Don't over-coordinate.
No.
It's a bad thing.
No.
I did go out also last night, and I did not have on a costume, but one of the costumes that caught my attention was a gentleman had it where it looked like he was on Donald Trump's shoulders.
Ooh.
Like Donald Trump was giving him a piggyback
ride. I've seen that one.
And so I thought that was very creative. I'd never seen that one before, and it looks like there were several people out there in the world as I looked at my social media who were had that at their costume.
Yeah, I like that.
Now with that, we know that Halloween is actually still a few days away. And maybe we can give some folks some inspiration, or as underdogs who are listening to the show, let us know what you have dressed up so far this weekend as or plan to this coming next few days as Halloween approaches. But we were curious, what are some of the top costumes in America?
So 10 most popular costumes according to Allure magazine. So number 10 is a mermaid. So I don't know if anybody remembers, if you're into pop culture, you might know a woman named Kim Kardashian. She has a little daughter named Northwest. And Northwest's birthday was about a month ago. And she did a Little Mermaid themed party for her daughter. And the mermaid has made the list because it inspired a lot of people to also dress up as mermaids.
How are you going to name your daughter North?
Because she's their guiding star, the North Star.
Shout out to North.
I would never make fun of somebody's name. I like the sentiment and the rationale behind it.
Yes.
Number 8 is a hippie. So you could buy this with things you already have, you know, a little flower princess.
Hippie is number 9?
Hippie is number 9. I think it's because of the legalization of marijuana and that craze, you know.
Not the same as like when I'm walking around New York City and I see hipsters.
No, it's like a real hippie.
Okay.
And then we start getting into, you know, number 6 is anybody from Game of Thrones.
Which I've never watched.
You've never watched.
Is it good?
It's really good, but you need to invest your life into it because it's intense and it's a lot. Now you're deep into the season. Wonder Woman made the top 5.
she had a, there was a movie out this year. Wonder Woman, the movie came out.
Yes. Okay. And I was actually going to be Wonder Woman this year, but again, I didn't want to pay the money for the costume.
And there would have been probably a lot of you. Did you see
Wonder Woman? I saw a number of Wonder Women.
Yeah, so that also, like, do you really want to show up and there's like...
But I saw a girl last night and she was Sailor Moon and it was fantastic. You don't remember Sailor Moon? Oh my gosh. You didn't get to watch cartoons as a little kid when you came home from school?
Yeah, G.I. Joe.
And Sailor Moon.
Spider-Man.
Sailor Jupiter.
He-Man.
Sailor Mars.
The Smurf.
If anybody, okay, anybody listening in who knows Sailor Moon, just call in because that's a classic.
Is it like a Canadian classic?
No, it's an anime cartoon, but it's Sailor Moon. I can't explain Sailor Moon. It's like the best cartoon. It's Sailor Moon.
She didn't even make the top 10 of the
She didn't things. Make any of the list. Sorry. Number two, I'm just going to keep skipping since I used up too much time there.
Yes, yeah,
so Stranger. Moon. So, have you ever seen Stranger Things on Netflix?
No.
You need to up your pop culture references. These are like the most popular things.
I watch sports. I watch the news and
Stranger Things. A character. There's a girl on there named 11. So, yeah, they're dressing up as 11 is a popular thing.
Okay.
And then the number one costume this year,
according to Allure magazine.
According to Allure magazine.
Yeah, let's put that in perspective.
Is did you see the new movie It, the Clown?
What do you think?
You know, a clown has resurged as the number one costume.
It's why we write Let's Get Personal About the News and the Culture. I had to take the word pop out because I knew I couldn't, the credibility of calling it pop culture, they would have found out that you know the pop culture and that it, like, collectively it wouldn't have been as authentic.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's always those people that do the crazy costumes. Like, I saw one where it was a couple's costume and the husband, the man was the plug and the woman was the socket.
Okay. I like that.
That's a bit much.
That's teamwork. Makes the dream work.
I guess.
You guess? Hold on. How you gonna play people trying to be couples and express themselves in their teamwork?
Because, like, I don't like those kinds of costumes. Like, you're going into the cab and you've got to, like, scrunch yourself in. And it's like, that's just a big commitment. I would never wear one of those costumes.
That's love.
Nah. Love, the type of guy, you came to my stand-up show, right? The kind of guy that I would date personally is the kind of guy that's like, yo, I got a tracksuit. I'm going to be Run DMC this year, yo. I'm not being no plug socket. He would, if I suggested that, any guy that I would be with would be like, yo, are you, no.
And he shouldn't order a pina colada.
No.
Unless you're on the beach.
No. Oh. We're not drinking that. We're not ordering coconut coladas. We don't drink that.
I'm just trying to, I want the folks out there listening to know, you know, what.
I like guys that wear hoodies and Tims, man, but have good jobs. That they exist.
I'm just going to put my mask on. Underdogs, if you have a good job and you wear hoodies and Tims and probably gray sweatpants, you should call at area code 212-650-6903 and maybe you'll get to talk to Asha off air.
You can friend me on Facebook.
I'm screening calls between now and the end of the show.
Well, speaking of people dressing up, I feel like there's people dressing up or being fake, you know, our freestyle. We talked a little bit about fake and dressing up who their persona, I guess.
Well, there's some people in today's digital society who are dressing up online.
Dressing up who they are online.
Yeah, putting on a bit of a mask virtually and figuratively. Mm-hmm. And it started with actually one of my favorite players.
Who?
Kevin Durant.
KD?
KD.
KD started it?
Well, I don't know if he started it, but he definitely became in the news because of it.
Okay.
So KD has been known to clap back or reply to fans who may reach out to him on social media. Mm-hmm. So there's no surprise that KD will interact. And sometimes people go like, yo, KD, like, why are you responding back to this dude? He has like 5 followers. And like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But he's like, hey, I do it. So unfortunately, some fan made a statement about like how about him leaving Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And so from Kevin Durant's main Twitter account, which is called KD5, he basically wrote something to the effect of, imagine taking Russ off that team. See how bad they were. KD can't win championships with those cats. Now, I want you to pay close attention. This is from KD's account, but it was written in third person.
Hmm.
So then what happened was people were like, did KD forget to switch from his other account? Instead, he replied from his account. And then folks were like, maybe KD has a fake account. So KD did come out and apologize for the tweet. And let's play a quick clip of KD talking about this whole thing.
There was a little bit of news yesterday. I don't know if you're aware.
Yeah, I am.
The thing is, you have never been afraid to clap back, right? You say what's on your mind.
Yeah.
You get it out there. You know, critics can F-word themselves, right?
Yeah.
And there are these accusations that you're creating other fake Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts to defend yourself. What happened? What's going on?
I do have another Instagram account, but that's just for my friends and family, so I wouldn't say I was using that to clap back at anybody, but I use Twitter to engage with the fans. I think it's a great way to engage with, you know, basketball fans, but I happen to take it a little too far, and that's what happens sometimes when I get into these basketball debates, or, you know, what I really love is just to play basketball. I went a little too far, and I don't regret clapping back at anybody or talking to my fans on Twitter. I do regret using my former coach's name and that former organization that I played for. That was childish, that was idiotic, all those type of words. I regret knowing that, and I apologize to him.
KD.
Apologizing
for clapping back under his real account, but clearly he thought he was in his other account talking in third person, saying things that it'd have been fine. Just say them from yourself, KD. You didn't have to do a fake account. Now, with that, though, before we move on, because there's some other folks dressing up online that I want to talk about. He did have this one response to a fan on his YouTube channel, which I thought was actually very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And this was him speaking as himself. And a fan talked about, asked him, like, well, why are you even, like, responding to us? Like, why are you doing this? Aren't you above that? And he goes, I play basketball. I got acne. I grew up with nothing. And still figuring myself out in my late 20s. I slide in DMs. I make fun of my friends. I drink beers. I play Xbox. I'm closer to you than you think.
I love that. I mean, one of the beauties of social media, I think, despite all of its downfalls and flaws, is that it definitely helps people relate more to celebrities. You know, you realize that these are just regular people. Everybody likes to have fun. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody says dumb things and jokes around with their friends. And, you know, I think that's real cool. And it definitely probably made that person's day.
Oh, my goodness. And it's an example of, if he can be that vulnerable and share, he really actually doesn't need a fake Twitter account.
Exactly.
Just say what is on your mind. Now, there's somebody else who had a fake Twitter account.
Who?
Her name was Jones Smith. Jones Smith was her name. And her handle was For Arguments. So FOR Arguments on Twitter. And she was known, this woman, Joan Smith, for clapping back for anybody who would go after NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell.
Oh, was she, they were related?
Yeah, it turns out that Joan Smith was actually dressed up in a costume. It's really Roger Goodell's wife.
Whoa, that, you know what? That's a ride or die, though. Honestly, that's a ride or die. If my man went and made up a fake account to come defend me to haters, I gotta say, I love him. I gotta say, I'm not, I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, so actually,
that's a treat.
Oh, so Mrs. Goodell is actually, in your opinion, she's out there treating for her
I
husband.
Think the concept of a white of a partner that would create a fake account to defend you is a treat. Now, I don't what did she say?
Well, so the account tweeted 14 times from August of this year until the Wall Street Journal outed her as the owner, and then the account disappeared.
Well, what did she say? Did she say anything?
She would say stuff like to reporters, you need to get better facts before you report certain stories. She would defend her husband, and she also at one time was an on-air personality on Fox News. So she has media experience too. So she was going after other journalists under this fake name of handle at For Argument. And she just goes, she's quoted saying, it was a really silly thing to do, but done out of frustration and love.
That's love, man. That give me a husband that'll do that for me any day. That's a treat.
So Kevin Durant tricking or treating, Mrs. Goodell tricking or treating.
So Kevin Durant, that's a treat. Again, I love that he didn't take it back. He didn't say he regrets doing it. You know, he's just like, yeah.
So you listen carefully because he actually didn't apologize.
He didn't apologize for
having
for doing
the account.
No.
For her. He just said like he called out people in a way that could have been more responsible.
Exactly. Like he could have been a little bit more responsible with his words, but he wasn't regretting the fact of defending himself by creating alter ego accounts. And you know what? I think it's cool. And I definitely think he more than redeems himself because the way that he interacts with his fans, Kevin Durant, there's a reason he's your favorite player, not only because of his skills on the ball court, but who he is as a person. And I just think that he's dope and pretty much anything he does is a treat.
Very cool. Now, if you were going to dress up online for Halloween and open a fake Twitter account, what would be your name? Because, you know, when you're a Twitter account, you get to have a name plus a handle.
Yeah.
So in this case, Roger Goodell's wife's handle was at For Argument and her name was Joan Smith. What would be your Halloween online costume name and handle?
So I think I would do my name would be Cameron Styles.
Okay.
And my handle would be Clapbacks by Cam. And I would have an alter ego that comebacks at people in that say things I disagree with in
Lions,
Cam'ron
tigers,
rap lyrics.
Bibs.
Cam, and Cam, because Cam's real name is Cameron Giles. So Cam Styles.
You thought through this.
It literally just came to me because I'm like, no, that would be something I would do. Because there's a Cam clapback or rap lyric for any situation.
This segment.
Love him.
So your name is Cameron Styles.
Cameron Styles.
And is your handle too long? I think, don't you only get 17 characters?
Cam Clapbacks by Cam.
That'll fit.
Cam Claps Back.
Okay. All right.
Cam Claps Back.
Got it. Asha Davis defending Cam'ron.
No, not defending Cam'ron. Just responding to anything that I disagree with. So if somebody is talking about, like, Trump comes out and says something, or this guy, the owner of the Houston Texans, makes his comment, then I would have a Twitter handle that responds to ignorance like that in the words of Cam'ron.
With lions, tigers, and bears. Okay.
We keep them boosters boosting. We keep them shooters shoots. All right, let's go. What would yours be? This is Harlem. I know there's people listening that are like, that's pretty cool.
Shout out to Harlem World and to all the Cam fans. Obviously, there's been some awesome hip hop that has come out of. And I'm a big fan of Dipset, so let me not act like
exactly. They're going on tour. Dipset got back together, and they're going on tour with the ASAP Mob now.
Let me just not act like he's in my top five, though. You know, I'm just
Cam is in my top. Yeah, I like Cam. I love Cam, actually. All right. Anyways, who was yours?
Mine would be, and Cam, if you're listening, 212-650-6903, because you probably have Tim, a hoodie, and a good job.
He does. So,
holla at
Adam Shout Davis. Out to his lovely, beautiful girlfriend slash wife, who I am also a big fan of.
Oh, my bad. I didn't know he was mad. I take that back. I didn't know. If I had known that, hey, just I'm not trying to break up any
no,
happy
I'm
home.
Just a fan.
Neither is she. So my bad. I didn't know. Remember, news and culture. I didn't put the pop in.
Right.
So I didn't,
you gotta, I didn't. Yeah.
All right. So my online Twitter name and handle would be Tyrone Luke Cage.
Tyrone Cage.
Hey, yes. Okay. I'm a big fan of the Luke Cage.
Yeah.
A series that came out on Netflix.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like the whole lot, like Tyrone Cage. And my handle would be at Petty Ish.
At
Pat Eddie underscore Ish.
Okay.
So I would come back and just get like, sometimes you know how you just want to go low. You know, Michelle Obama says, when they go high, we go. When they go low, we go high.
Yeah.
My handle would be for when they go low, I feel like going low. So I'd be Tyrone Cage out there going and literally getting all the folks who've been going low, and I go get them.
So basically what you're saying is that your alter ego online would be pretty much opposite to you in a lot of different ways. Like Tyrone Cage sounds like the opposite name of Gregory Neesmith. Like, you know what I mean? And you're probably one of the least petty people that I know, just like in real life, like chill you are. So the fact that you would have a handle that specializes in petty is quite fascinating to me. I feel like I've learned so much about you today.
Yes. And that is a great comment to make, which is, if you want to clap back in cam style, you actually get to do that and try it on whenever you feel like it. And you can do it from your current handle, which I believe is at Asha Destiny, for those who want to follow you on Instagram or on Twitter. And for me, if there's times where I feel like being petty, which I'm human, it happens. Sometimes it's actually called for to go low every now and then bring it back up. Then I get to do that when the moment calls for it too, and I don't have to create a new handle for it.
Sometimes, are you saying sometimes it's okay to play a little limbo with them?
Every now and then. The key is, don't stay there too long and know that you've done it intentionally and chosen to, mm-hmm. as opposed to being reactionary. Because that's how people get in trouble, when they actually do stuff in reaction and aren't totally thinking. But you can be aware. Sometimes people yell for effect as opposed to yell out of reaction.
So go low, but don't let the bar hit you on the way down.
Hey, don't. Or the way up.
Mm-hmm.
Either way.
Either way.
Yes. So with that, underdogs out there, let us know, what would be your online handle and name if you came up with a fake Twitter account for Halloween? Because like we don't want you to do it all year. Like, we don't want you to be Jones Smith out here for the rest of the year.
Exactly.
Just only on Halloween and maybe on April Fool's. That's it.
You know what? I'm going to say they could be whoever they want to be any time, because it's almost 2018 and we are free.
That is true. But the only time you should create a fake account is if you're a spy. Or your FBI informant.
Or if you love your partner and you want to defend them anonymously.
Yeah, yeah. Don't create a fake account so they can't see what you're doing, like, but you're doing something on their behalf. With that, we're going to take a quick break and more of today's episode, Who's Tricking?
And Who's Treating?
After this quick break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the underdogs and my people and the occasional Trump supporter. We appreciate all of you. In today's episode, Who's Tricking?
And Who's Treating?
We've been talking about it. There's been a lot of tricking going on today.
A lot of tricking and some social media tricking too.
Yes, indeed. But now we know you're going to be clapping back at people in cameuous style.
Yeah, cam linguistics. I'll offer a course, actually. I should do that. Daryl responded to our comment, and he said his alter ego social media handle would be at Fake Fox News.
Ooh, look at Daryl taking on the Fair and Balanced, which is their tagline, Fox News organization. Okay, I appreciate that.
That's a community service. I think you should do that now.
Yes, and actually, what Daryl reminds me of, just an offer for underdogs out there, is go out and enjoy, well, not even enjoy, but take in some media from places that you normally don't, just so you can keep a well-rounded perspective. So if you like watching MSNBC all the time, you know, spend a few minutes on Fox News.
Yeah, exactly.
If you love the Wall Street Journal, spend some time with the New York Times every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
it's good to just be aware of what's going on holistically and not get caught up in your bubble of only people who may think and report like you do.
I agree.
All right, cool. Now, we're going to do a quick rundown of some stories that happened either in the last week or even happened in this month of who was tricking and treating in the month of October.
Yeah, that's good.
First news story that happened this week. And we're going to discuss whether it's a trick or a treat, which is it was announced that Colin Kaepernick has a book deal, which I believe is reported for around $1 million something, that he's going to be coming out with a book. Is that a trick or a treat?
I think it's a trick, a treat. I think it's a treat. I like that, you know, for those who don't know, I know we talked, we spent some time talking about football earlier, but for those who don't know, basically, Colin Kaepernick also announced that he's going to be suing the league for collusion. And it's funny because, well, not funny, haha, but peculiar, because what's interesting is that actually one of our Facebook Live viewers made a comment, you know, we've been asking people to talk about what's going on because obviously, you know, Gregory hasn't been watching football. We're here for the show. And someone mentioned, you know, the 49ers, which is Kaepernick's former team, they are not doing so great right now. And there's been a lot of injuries, and basically they're the person that's even playing on that team right now is not as good as Kaepernick. And so there's all these different sort of nuances that are happening. And I think that it would be really awesome to kind of see his side of the story. And I think that we should all support him in his endeavors, because he's really put his money where his mouth is. He's really sacrificed. And, you know, again, we talked about maybe doing a show in the future that talks about when is it time to walk away.
Yeah.
You know, and even if he does get another sort of contract in the league or something like that, I think that story from that perspective would be a treat.
Yeah. And we talked about degree of difficulty when we were talking about Jeff Flake saying something about Trump and being like, it's good, but the degree of difficulty is low because he's always been someone been against Trump. In this case, I believe high degree of difficulty for Colin Kaepernick, because there was a lot at risk, and we've actually see it play out that literally what was risk is his ability to play, be signed under contract and compensated for the thing that he has been doing professionally for the past 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, a big deal when someone does something that actually costs them their job.
Exactly.
And so for me, I actually consider this a trick.
Oh.
But let me explain why. Like, yes, I'm all for him coming out with the book, but to me, it's another example of like, man, I think it's the owners have spoken. And it's almost as if filing the grievance, like, let me do the book deal, like he's moved on. And that the chances of playing football again are like not going to happen. And so for me, I'm sad by that, because I don't like the narrative of what comes out of someone taking a stand like he did peacefully and legally and for a good cause. Like, what happens is like, yeah, you lose your job. And so that for me is why I call it a trick, only because it's now made it hit home for me. Like, yeah, he's moving on.
I disagree. I think that I'm still optimistic, and I think it's a treat that we'll get to hear his perspective and that he gets to make some money off it.
Yes, yes. I do agree with that. Name it, where are you calling from?
Hi. I'm very disappointed in you today, Gregory. I mean, this is Deborah.
Yep.
So he doesn't play anymore. What if he were not to play anymore? I mean, you know, this could be a stepping stone. Nobody knows what his life is supposed to be like in full. You know, sometimes when people, all right, the team isn't doing well, you know, they're pulling people out of nowhere, you know, people who have retired. Fine. If they break up in little pieces, who cares? He wanted to play. He asked to play. And everybody kept saying, no, 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 no. Well, you know what? Maybe in the long run, they'll be sorry that they didn't let him play, because maybe he'll do something even greater than football.
And that I do agree with. And I think what you're hearing from me, Deborah, is that there's just a certain frustration. And I think both you and Asha, I think, kind of get where I'm coming from. It's just that I hate that when we or when someone does something where we know they're on the right side of stuff, that this is one of the consequences of it. And to your point, he's going to go on to do great things. He's inspiring a lot of people. But I just hate that this is one of the consequences of it. I just don't like that being part
of it. I know. But you know what? He might be, this might be something really, really, this might be even better. Because, you know, it's like if somebody owns something and it's theirs and somebody just keeps telling you no, 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 and they don't want you to do it, then, you know, a lot of young people are looking at this. So if you don't want to play, you don't want to play with me, fine. Go play with yourself. Go play with yourself. I'll find something else to do.
No, I think I hear what you're saying, Asha. It's like this is also an opportunity for, at least for me, to get to come to grips with. Sometimes you just got to walk away. And on top of that, to your point, he's already done great things, and I think he's going to continue to do great
things. That's what I'm saying. I mean, this could be, you know, if you think this book that's coming out might be something, just think about, you know, something else that he might do. I'm not certain of who the person is right at this moment, so I don't want to put it out there. But there was someone years ago that I had read about who wanted to be, you know, in sports. And they didn't want him to be. And he went on to do some really great things. You know, people don't always think that he did great things because it wasn't what, you know, this country thinks that it should have been. But he stood on his principle and he did something that was really great. When I find out, and I know for certain, then I'll tell you. But
no, I
just think that this is something that, you know, will go so far. You never know. He might have his own team one day.
No, I hear you. So I'm going to let what you said and what I've said, I'm going to let that sink in. And
take care, Asha. I didn't mean to ignore you before.
No. Didn't feel that way. Thanks so much for calling, Deborah.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Hi, Deborah.
And it seems like we have another person that agrees because going to our Facebook Live comments, Daryl actually says that while he hears what you're saying, Greg, at the end of the day, if Colin Kaepernick wins his collusion claim and the owners have to pay him the $45 million, that's going to be quite the treat.
It will. And given how generous he's been with the money that he has and the things he's done in the community, that just means that'll be even more to fuel some of the stuff he wants to do in the world and also take care of himself and his family.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm gonna let it sink in.
Let it.
I want to talk in some future shows about when we are underdogs faced with should we stay or should we go.
Mm-hmm.
and what to do in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
So as always, Deborah, thanks for chiming in. Also Daryl. And all the underdogs today who
thank you, Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy. Man, it was awesome. So with that, we've come to the end of the show.
No, we have not.
Oh, sorry. We're coming to the finale, the wind down.
Listen, stop trying to gloss over Uninhibited. We got 4 minutes left, and we don't have time for the banter.
We have three because we have to do like a close.
Okay, so I'm just going to jump right in because I like how you're like, we're done the show. Wait a minute.
This part of the big finish.
Okay. Are you done with your crescendo? You know what a crescendo is. Okay. I'm not the only music major.
You're circumlocutious.
No, circumlocution. Okay, so today's uninhibited question, I'm going to jump right into it. We've been talking about tricks. We've been talking about treats. We've been talking about getting dressed up. So, Gregory, have you ever had a situation where a costume was worn for you as a treat outside of Halloween? And if so, what was that costume?
Yes. It makes me smile just thinking about
that. Ooh, you answered that very quickly. Please go on.
She had on a nurse's outfit.
Oh.
Yes. Like, when you think about when you're having a good day... When you know, like, someone's like, oh, how was your day? And they don't, you don't have time to give them the details, but you're just like, oh, fantastic.
So, wait, so let's elaborate. I'm going to use my 90 seconds. So, a nurse's outfit, are we talking the white little mini dress thing with the hat? Or what kind of nurse was she? Or was she in the scrub? I'm guessing it wasn't the scrubs, but tell me.
No scrubs.
It was a real nurse.
So like the hat, the outfit was definitely, you know, like a skirt. Nurses don't really wear those, but it was
well and well above her knees, we'll say that much.
Yes, it was, yes.
Well, did she have the little garters on?
She was, yes.
Did she have on stilettos? Oh, I think we have a caller.
y'all gonna stop. Name where you calling from. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, name where you calling from.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem.
I'm sorry. I call a friend of mine.
Hey, no problem, man. You take care. Have a good Sunday.
That was definitely a plant by Gregory to change the subject.
Yes.
Oh, we gotta call it. Oh, man.
Well, time to go.
Wrong number. Okay, so the answer to today's uninhibited question is yes. Our beautiful host Gregory Neesmith has had someone wear a costume for him as a treat outside of Halloween, and it was a sexy nurse costume.
I was well taken care of.
And he was well taken care of, though she was wearing something that no nurse could possibly wear in a hospital.
But the spirit of how nurses make sure we're cared for
was there.
Yes.
And so ladies, if TLC. if you are trying to make Gregory Neesmith feel good, all it takes is a 50% off nurse's costume the day after Halloween. Go ahead.
Make it happen. With that, shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter. You were in the right place to get personal about the news and the culture. And today's episode was tricking or treating. But for those who didn't catch the live show and that will be listening to the podcast, it'll be titled Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat.
And shout out to all of you who've made the podcast in the top 100 in society and culture out of thousands of podcasts, all because of you. Live show Sundays, podcast Mondays. And with that, thank you to everyone who called in and who jumped in on the Facebook Live too. And I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.